This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run with Xiaoning Philip and myself, Shazana. We're turning our attention now to the outlook for the Malaysian economy. So in a recent television interview, the Finance Minister, Datuk Sri Tunku Zafrul Aziz, signaled that Malaysia will lower its economic growth outlook for this year due to movement restrictions against COVID, with a forecast for expansion of around 4%.
He reiterated that while there's vaccine optimism and the current surge in cases can be contained, the lockdown will nonetheless have an impact on the economy. With the lockdown costing as much as RM1 billion a day, what levers does the government have when it comes to stimulus package, though?
And this is a question we're going to ask Dr. Sailesh Keja, Group Chief Economist and Head of Market Research at RHB Bank. Good morning, Sailesh. RHB has a Malaysia GDP forecast of 5.5% year-on-year for 2021, much higher than the World Bank at 4.5%. And even the weighted average consensus on Bloomberg is lower at 4.8%. So why the contrarian optimism?
Yeah, so for our 2021 forecast of 5.4% for a headline GDP growth, in 2022 we're at 5.5%. I can't comment on what other people forecast, but what I can tell you is the way that we come up with our forecasts are based on real-time data, close to real-time data of the Malaysian economy. We have satellite images sector by sector. As of the first week of July, in fact, and by Thursday, we'll have real-time data by sector as of the roughly second week of July. So we're the only people in the world who actually have this data and essentially put this in a quantitative framework to come up with our forecast. Now, getting to the crux of what is driving our forecast, is that we are relatively, more optimistic than the consensus on consumer spending, where we think that a modest recovery path will ensue in the second half of the year. In fact, till the till early July, the levels that we are seeing from our real-time data, again, the data in terms of retail sales, as a reminder to your viewers, is as of May, whereas our data on the proxy for consumer spending is as of the first week of July. As of June, the end of June, the consumer spending had moderated, but nowhere close to MCO1, and we're closer to what we observed in MCO2. And remember that essentially first quarter private consumption surprised on the upside. We'll just give you a little bit of a context where we're coming from. And I think the main reason why we're relatively more constructive on the consumer in the second half of this year is that threefold. One is that we don't expect the labor market conditions to deteriorate significantly. We've had all along essentially the forecast of 4.8% unemployment rate in Malaysia in the first half of the year, followed by 4%. The last reading on unemployment was 4.5% for the month of May. And simply put, the economic activity has continued to essentially remain resilient in spite of all of the challenges that have transpired in the Malaysian economy, with strong export growth that has also created limited the downside risks to labor market conditions and income growth. So exports is a very strong component of essentially generating income and employment from our models. Secondly, essentially the loose monetary and fiscal conditions. So, we compute what we call the fiscal impulse to the economy. Not many people do that in Malaysia. And what we find is that the fiscal impulse is positive in terms of what that in plain English means. All this fiscal stimulus that the government has appropriately implemented gives us an impulse into growth, and monetary conditions are fairly accommodative, still very loose actually, and that essentially is good for growth. And thirdly, economic agents, whether it's the consumer businesses, have restructured themselves in the way that they think and behave as the COVID-19 pandemic lingers. And this will linger.
Sorry, I have to interrupt you, Dr. Sailesh, because you're running out of time. But I do want to ask this critical question. And you say that this 5.4% GDP forecast for 2021 is going to be driven by exports. But in our channel checks...
No, I didn't say that. Hold on. Let me interrupt. I didn't say that. I said basically that the 5.4% forecast is driven by the consumer, and the consumer supported by strong export growth.
Yeah. Yes, and like I said, strong export growth, right? But our channel checks also say, with many business owners and with many chambers of commerce, that the issue here is that the extended lockdown has interrupted supply chains for them, and they actually have had to cut down their production. So I'm wondering whether we will see these negative numbers in the coming quarters ahead. As with regards to consumption, if this lockdown is uncertain, won't that crimp spending and also sentiment, which is critical?
I think you missed the point. I mentioned to you, we have the hard evidence, right? We have satellite images of the economy sector by sector. We can tell you today, as of the first week of July, what's going on in the manufacturing sector, the construction sector, logistics, distribution of goods. So put it all together. We don't rely on headlines in the media. To be perfectly honest, and looking at the hard evidence. That's what differs, broadly speaking, our view from basically the consensus view, where I don't know where they come up with their numbers. The 1 billion ringgit a day, that, as you quoted, finance minister, that's a consensus view. Where does that come from? I don't see anywhere in any paper, even the World Bank paper, of where that number comes from. So we don't just agree with that assessment in the first place.
So
how do they get to the numbers is unclear to me,
So, Dr. Silish, I mean, with respect to currencies then, what's your view on MYR-USD? What do your satellite images tell on that?
Yeah, so when you think about it, you know, we, just to give you a backdrop in terms of the of dollar ringgit, you know, of course, it is also hinges on our forecast on the economy, on growth, right? So just for the record, heading into MCO1, we had already downgraded to 5.4% from 6.2%. Consensus at that point was well over 6%, you know, around 6.5%. And our forecasts have remained consistently below consensus all along, right? And what that has meant is that we have been consistently above consensus on our dollar ringgit forecast. You know, for the longest time, you know, we had been saying that by the end of the second quarter of this year, which has already passed, we would be at dollar ringgit of 422. So that's come in, but roughly, right? We're at 421 today, late by about a week or two, doesn't matter. By the end of the year, by the first quarter of next year, we'll be at 430, right? So, you know, our view on dollar ringgit is both domestic in nature, and we have been since December of 2020 in the camp, probably, you know, one of the few people in the world, not only in Malaysia, of a stronger for longer dollar assessment.
All right,
so that's
Silish.
Thank you so much for your insights.
We've run out of time, but interesting viewpoints he has there. That was Dr. Silish Jha, Group Chief Economist and Head of Market Research at RHB Bank.
Yeah, I'm really surprised with his GDP forecast, because even the MOF and this is our finance minister, is hinting at a GDP target of 4%. So I'm curious what kind of satellite images they're using there.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.